makes you happy.
Okay, so Derech Hakdama, before we jump into Inyan Diyoma, Simchas Purim is certainly upon us. Let's Hashem look forward to dancing with Olam tomorrow night. We'll jump for a moment. In a moment, we'll jump into Ein Simcha El Torah, the sugyas of Reish and Gimel. But just you're asking about costumes. So I will point to one interesting, a good way to perhaps start a halacha chabura, a different part of Hilchas Bishul. In Yerideya, the very beginning of the halachas of Basur B'chala, of the first siman, Siman Pezai in Yerideya, which is sort of like a introductory siman. So one of the macro topics that comes up is how do you deal with Maris Ayin in the world of Bas B'chol. Like you have something that looks fleshic together with something that's milchic, or something that looks milchic together with fleshic. So is that a problem or not? And Raman, the Shach, the Beit, you're only worried about if it looks like it's Daraisa, if it looks like it's Drabanan, chicken and milk. If the actual chicken, the actual milk, we pass can say it's a Drabanan. So the Raman, the Shach, have a debate, what will be if it's, let's say, chicken in soy milk or chicken in almond milk, where it looks as though it's in Drabanan. So is that a concern or not? So in the course of that, one of the things that comes up in the literature is that probably was a common minhag on Purim to have chicken in almond milk. So that's the discussion. Maybe you should have almonds flowing in the almond milk, or maybe have a container, that would be a modern day equivalent, have a container of almond milk on the table, so that makes it clear that it's almond milk, not actual milk, that's not a problem. Or we just say, since it only looks like an Isidra Banan, so there's no problem with Maris Ayin, unless it looks like an Isidra Raisa. What's fascinating is that the historical Metzius, this was apparently standard Purim cuisine, the chicken in almond milk. So I've thought about this at Purim Suttas over the years. It could be that that's the same Shoresh Hadavar as customs. In other words, it looks as though it's something that's not. To serve, there was a dafka, to serve something that looked treif, and it was really kosher. So I try, Bli Neder, to have soy milk. We don't have chicken in soy milk, but to have soy milk over the course of the Purim Suda, that seems like it was a very ancient minhag, and that's a different version of the dressing up. And presumably, again, all of this comes back to the whole theme of the Nes of Purim, is to understand that the message for the post-Navur period, to understand that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is very much with us even when he is in obvious. And as the famous observation has been made many times about Shem Shamayim not being in the Megillah, it's worth noting that HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't appear explicitly, but at the same time, it's very clear that the people in the Megillah, specifically Mordechai and Esther, are profound ma'aminim. And most importantly, perhaps one of the most central turning points of the Megillah, of course, is when Mordechai challenges Esther. Right? That's when Esther totally changes. When he says, if you're not going to stand up now, so if you're going to make excuses, Rabbi Chatzal Yavalu Malkam Acher, the Kazal will be taken care of some other way. Obviously, reference to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Without saying so, obviously referencing is that we know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to take care of us. We're not sure how. And he goes on to say, in the sense not only that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is taking care of us, but that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has expectations of each of us. In other words, Mordechai recognizes that HaKadosh Baruch Hu already saw to it that she would, through remarkably unusual ways, end up in the palace in the first place. And that the sense of analyzing your present for signs of divine purpose. And then understanding that that's a mechayev in terms of how you move forward. So all of that, not just the abstract emuna, but also acting on it, those are obviously very, very central lessons of Purim, recognizing that Kadosh Baruch Hu is there even behester, that even if he's master panav, as the Chumash describes, as to when Shlomo Melech explicates in Shir HaShirim, he's metzitz min acharakim, he's peeking between the cracks. Master panav means that Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't allow us to see him. He's still watching, he's still involved, it's harder for us to notice that he's watching, but he is no less watching just because it's the time of Hester Panim, the Pashup Shat and those Psukim, and that again brings us back. So that's the the dressing up and the dressing up the eating the thing that seems like it's treif, even though it's really kosher. In other words, it seems as though there's no HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but really there is. Really there is. Okay, so those are some of the machshav of Purim as it interacts with a different area of Bishul and Shulchan Aruch, Basa B'chalov. And now let's come back to our topic. The last Chabura is our first Chabura Meish from Gimel. And the other week, we sort of overviewed a lot of the, sort of from 30,000 feet, a lot of the larger issues and perspective of the sugyas. What I'd like to do now is to begin to, it'll probably take us two Chaburas to go through Shehiyah. Our second Chabur Bli Neder will be next week, Thursday. Reish and Gimel Sif Aleph, as you have seen, is a very, very large, lengthy simon. I gave you that that chart, that spreadsheet, because it's, I'm not sure why the Shulchan Aruch chose to put all this in a single simon, in a single sif. All of Sif Aleph could either easily been 4 or 5 or 6 even. I'm not sure why it wasn't broken down. So, but let's go through some of the issues now, and then hopefully we'll wrap up next week. But let's really get into the chunk by chunk, working through Sif Aleph, working through Shehiyah. Sif Beis really takes us into HaChazara. Let's work through some of these issues in the Shulchan Aruch and Halacha Lamasa. So, of course, the overarching issue here, as you saw, is obviously the Machlokes Chananya and the Chachamim. The Mishnah tells us once again that there is an Isser of Shehiyah. And that's the Mishnah in the first parak, and the Mishnah here in the third parak tells us that the solution to the Shehiyah is Grufa Ktuma. Either going to be Gori for Kotim, either going to shovel the coals, according to Rambam, just means shovel to the side, according to Rambam, that's the way the Shulchan Aruch seems to say, it means you shovel them out entirely, you remove the coals, that's Garov, and Kata means that you cover them. If Garov or Kata, that's what we talk about using the Blach, that's an example of Kata. But that's the solution to the Isser of Shehiyah, the Isser of leaving the food on the fire from before Shabbat. So the Machlokes HaTanan, Chananya versus Chacham, already quoted in the first parak, and then adjudicated at length in the opening sugi of the third parak, is whether this whole issue with the solution, is that Grufa Ketumah solves the problem of Shehiyah, but when do you even have the problem that you need the solution? When do you need Grufa Ketumah? And Chananya holds, you only need the Grufa Ketumah up until Machal Ben Drusoy. Once the food is at least barely edible, in Machlokas Rashi Rambam, that means Chatsi Bishulo or Shlish Bishulo. The Rambam says that Machal Ben Drusoy means half cook. The Rashi tells us in several places it means a third cook. Poskim seem to indicate, Mishnah and others, we would rather, if we need to, we would rather go with Rambam, with the Chatsi Bishulo. If you're stuck, you're ready to go back to a third. But either way, so Chananya is of the opinion that once it's a third to half cooked, then already there's no Isser of Shehiyah. After all, the Gemara says in the first parak, the concern is Shem Yichate Begachalim. We're worried that you're going to poke around, stoke the coals, raise the fire, so that you can hasten, accelerate the cooking process. So Chananya says, look, the main concern really is before the food is edible. Once the food is edible, you're it's Machal Ben Drusoy. It's not quite the way you would like it. Okay. So there's still some concern of wanting to accelerate the cooking, but not quite the same bite. The food is edible, it's not quite the way I want it, but the concern is less, and again, as I said in the past, one of the Chazal are authorized and expected to introduce legislation to create new Dina Drabanan if, and only if, it serves sufficient cause. There's a significant chashash that as is, without introducing a drabbanon, there'll be a significant concern of people violating the raisa. If you introduce a drabbanon, that really head off a lot of that problem. So the main concern, the main chashash, Hashem Yichad Bukhan, Chananya says, is really called the machal ben drusoy, the food really isn't even edible at all. Now, machal ben drusoy is not so much of a tzorah, Chananya said they never introduced the din drabbanon. So lamasa, that means according to Chananya, there's no Isser Shehiyah, no need for Gufa Ketumah. You can leave the food on an uncovered, untouched, unmodified fire. And the Chachamim say no. Chachamim say even after Machal Ben Drusoy, it's a problem. A discussion on Maram, and we assume that means La'achar Machal Ben Drusoy, and even La'achar Shenes Bashul Kol Tzarko. Even if it's fully cooked, but still Mitzta Meik V'Yafalo, that's still a problem. And you saw at length So at length, the Beis Yosef had what we call Ma'aracha Mul Ma'aracha. Right? It's like two armies facing each other on the battlefield. And they line up. It starts with this with the riff and Rashi, and then the Beis Yosef starts lining up. Well, this one holds like the riff, and that one's like the riff, and back and forth, and back and forth, a whole slew. Both earlier and later. Beis Yosef marshals Gaonim on both sides, and many, many, many Rishonim. It's often thought of in the most basic terms as machlokas, as the Beis Yosef puts it, Rashi v'siyaso versus the Rif v'siyaso, or Rashi in his camp versus the Rif in his camp, or Rashi in Tosis versus the Rif. Right here you have the Tosis right there, the first Amud Aleph. It says, right, right, by the way, Apostle Chananya, we'll get to it more in greater detail on the base. That's a big, big, a big issue. Yeah, what the rush holds is a little bit mysterious, because the rush is quoted, what the rush in the tour holds. The tour quotes, right, the tour makes it a little confusing, and the Shulchan Aruch, the truth is, makes it a little confusing too. Not sure why. The Shulchan Aruch maintains that the tour's presentation, running through all the dinim with the riff, and then only at the very end, right, when you're two-thirds way through the sif, says, by the way, it calls it as Lafia Rif, but Rashi and Taisis are Mekel HaKhananya. It's only the Rif who followed the Chachamim. And the Tur presents his father, this is significant, Tur presents his father, the Hiskim Adoni of Harashzal. The Tur says the Rif was Machmir like the Chachamim, but Rashi and the Ri in Balyatosis are Mekel like Chananya, and he says that my father agreed to that. My father, the Rush. The Tur was the son of was the most famous son of the Rush. But that's significant. The Drisha points out, not so Pashat, because right? If you read the Rush does not exactly give a glowing, and Beis Yosef maybe points this out also, and the Rush doesn't really give you open a Rush. He doesn't give a glowing haskama to the position of the Mekel position of Rashi and the Ri. Right, to Hola Chananya. He says, Farnagu, so Klaishal, it's like a Levi Yitzchak by Ditchev line. He says, Klaishal, Adukim be Onig Shabbos. They love the mitzvah of Onig Shabbos so much. So that's our Mako. It's a very beautiful way of, a very positive way of putting it. Where Klaishal has been Mako, so the Beit Yosef quotes explicitly. From the end of Sif Aleph and Perakira. Rabbi, I think it's by Episcopal, so many different opinions. Yisrael, Dukim, it's this Einik Shabbos. Klal Yisrael is so attached to the mitzvah Einik Shabbos, they're not going to listen to such a chumrah. Hanach lehem b'minik shenova p'ya poskim chayim. So, if Jews are following chayim, Jews are following, Ashkenazim in particular, are following, not surprisingly, Rashi and the Ri, who Rashi and the Ri did hold a chanani l'chatchila. The Tosfos is very clear. It says, you read the Sikha, it's clearly chanani. Right? There are indications of Lekar Mulkan. The Rush doesn't sound like he was so excited about it, but was willing to let it slide. So that is part of what introduces an interesting tension here. The fact that the Rush, who is an Ashkenazi, who usually is the flag bearer, the standard bearer of the Ashkenazi position, so he's the one who says that. That's a Drisha point. Drisha Sifkat and Ches. Drisha on the bottom of the tour. He's the one who points out. One second. The tour presents the Rush as being a Mako. You know, it doesn't really sound so much like that. The Rush sounds like, you know, if people want to be Mako, we won't stop them. It doesn't exactly sound like a glowing Haskama. Like that's not Rashi Tosfos. So the Drisha tries to solve it. So Drisha says, well, the Gemara talks about following Minhag. The Minhag Italia, the Goran Lama Zayin Beis, so maybe that's what how the Torah read his father. The Nogu Yisrael, Nogu to follow Chananya, so the Minhag Italia. It's interesting, the creative twist that the Drisha has. But I think that this wrinkle in the Rush is something that lasts ad hayom hazeh. Because if you when you open Shulchan Aruch, Shulchan Aruch is also very confusing here, as you saw. You have to sort of ski, the Shulchan sort of blends a lot of these issues together, so you have to say, read far. And then the Ramah is up just like a line or two later than you would expect him to. Right? The Shulchan also opens what the Tur does, and he starts by calling the position of the Rif. Again, the Rif follows the Chachamim, that you need Grufo Ketuma unless it's Mitzamek Viralo, unless it's not only fully cooked, but no longer even improving.
they're almost, and it's in the stomach, around, we're usually going to take it off the fire, unless being hot is more important than tasting good. Right? So lamasa, if you follow the chachamim, you almost always have a roof of tumah, you're almost always going to have a covered fire. Then, mostly through the sif, if you're using a mishnabur, you got to turn a few pages before you finally get the v'yesh omrim. So again, if you follow the mishnabur, it's by the sif kalam and zayin. V'yesh omrim, it says, mashal v'machal ben jersai. So then, that's already mutter without on an uncovered fire. Right? So that's according to the position, the second position, the position of Rashi and Balei Tosfos and many Ashkenazim. And if you look in Beis Yosef, we're Sfardim also, Sfardim Rishonim also, we're Mekel and Chananya. And then, so it's from Shulchan Aruch, it's so hard to know how does he paskin. Many have the approach that if the Shulchan Aruch says a stam and then Yesh Omrim, that means he's passing like the stam. But he didn't say Yesh Omrim X, Yesh Omrim Y. He said X, Yesh Omrim Y. Right? He opens the sif with a sheet for the riff, and then he says Yesh Omrim to make it. So it's widely assumed that the Mechaber is Machmir. The question is how about Ashkenazim? So the Ramah, it's like a few lines later, Ramah, I'm not sure if it's a Taos HaTfus or it belongs there, it's hard to know for sure. The Vinogul HaKol Kesvar HaKorona. The minhag is to follow the second opinion, meaning to make it like Chananya. So the Ramah sounds like it's totally fine. As long as the food is somewhat cooked before Shabbos, so you're already fine. It comes up often with a kettle. You have a kettle of hot water. Well, actually, let's hold off on the kettle for a moment. So how do we paskin? So it sounds like it should be a machlok is Ashkenazim and Sfardim, which is, again, what it sounds like in the Beis Yosef also. And Beis Yosef presents it as the Rif and some of the Sfardim versus Rashi and the Balei Tosfos and many Sifrei Chachmei Ashkenaz. That long list, there may have been some unfamiliar names there. And Beis Yosef had that long, long list. There are a lot of Ashkenazim. The Smag and the Smak and the Mordechai and so on and so forth. So the host of Ashkenazim as well as some Sfardim. The Smag and the Smak and the Baal Sefer Truma to our early Balei Tosfos Hagos Maimini, who is Ashkenazi, a chaver of the Rosh and the Mordechai, according to Zeruah, as well as the Rosh, but who is a Sfardi. So it would not be surprising to say it's mostly Macholos Ashkenazim and Sfardi. So it wouldn't be surprising to say Mechaber is Machmir, like the Rif who followed. That's Macholos Er Tana, Macholos Shom Hadapaskin. Lines we show them line up more or less Ashkenazim Sfardi. I'm not surprised and say, okay, so the Sfardi approach, Mechaber is passing like the Rif, to be Machmer like the Chachamim, and the Ramah is passing like Rashi and Tosfos, and the Chachmei Ashkenaz, to make a, like the Sheet of Chananya. The thing is, if you open Shulchan Aruch, so the Magen Avraham already starts Epke Bepke. Magen Avraham is hesitating. Magen Avraham says, "Kam Tesvav." Says, "Ah, okay." Like if you look at Shulchan Aruch, it's so hard to know. Like, where do all those that came stand? So Magen Avraham, his one comment is, "Kam Tesvav." He says, "Oh, so if you want to be Yotzei L'Chaladeos, you know, if you put a Kidra Chaisa, you'll sort of solve. You know, if you can't cover the flame is one thing you could do, or you know, put it on raw right before Shabbos." So it sounds like he's trying to avoid the issue. And you look at Machzor Shekel, on the bottom, he says exactly that. The Magen Avraham is obviously indicating he would rather not rely on the Kula of Ramah. Just as an aside, by the way, just for your knowledge, Machzor Shekel, who appears along the bottom of one of the Perushim on the bottom of the page of Shulchan Aruch, is an invaluable resource in understanding the Magen Avraham. That is the entire job of the Machzor Shekel. Is to give you shots, sometimes even line by line, sometimes almost like Kahati style, on the Magen Avraham.
He'll take you through line by line. You will not like Atimash every line, but he'll take you through a lot of it. He will sometimes give you background. Magen Avraham made a reference, he'll tell you what the Gemara says, which again, if you learn the sugya thoroughly, you may not need that. But he and the Prima Gadim are both very important resources in learning the Magen Avraham properly. And then the Bir Halacha also. Bir Halacha, Mishnah Berurah and the Bir Halacha says that Dimaschal Benagu, he says, he would recommend be Machmer. And then the Shmir Shabbos, Kilchasa, I think it's Osamach Gimel in the old edition, the one I have, the new edition, I think the numbers have changed a little bit. The old editions, near the end of Perek Aleph, there's a section about Shehiyah and Hatmana, that's how he set things up. He tells Afazar earlier, he gets to the Dinam of Shehiyah, Shmir Shabbos, gets to the Dinam of Shehiyah later in Perek Aleph. And he gives you first, he says, here's the ideal way to do it. Just everything should be cooked, and everything should be fire should be covered. They're like avoiding the problem. Right? In other words, covering all your bases, why not be machmer for the rift from the Shulchan Aruch? And then he says, but look, mikra din, if it's already chasi bishulo, it says machmer ben drusoy, l'chaladeus. So if the fire is not covered, you're fine too. You're not bad. Now, it should be noted. Obviously, Shulchan Aruch is very clear. Everyone's very clear. If fire not covered, even Hananiah is only made by Shehiyah, not by Hachazara. To take the food off and put it back on, everyone agrees it's going to require Grufo Ketuma, even though it's already fully cut. Right? Or the whole debate, Chananya Chachamim, is when you just, it's food is on to stay. There's no, and it's coming off once. Not that you're going to take off and put back on. For Friday night shalom, that's going to be also the Shabbos day shalom, so you take it off and put it back on. There's no playing games with it. You got to have a blach. The Shaila is, let's say, you're just staying there. Let's say it's just staying there. Okay. I think that's where things land. Halacha Lamasa is we would advocate being, and as I said before, this advocacy that the Magen Avraham already has, and then the Bir Halacha picks up, and the Shmir Shabbos Pilchasa picks up on, that we would prefer to avoid Hananiah if we could. I think, I wonder whether that's really rooted in sort of this hesitation in the rush. Because I mean, the rush is usually, as I said before, usually he's the one who's presenting the position of Balei Tosfos. And you would have expected him to just come full force and say, yeah, sure, Hananiah. That's our Masorah from Rashi, from the Ri, from Rabbeinu Baruch Bala Truma. Maybe we paskin, like going back to Haigon perhaps, that we paskin like Hananiah, no problem. And some of the rush is sort of bunting a little bit. So I wonder whether that the bunt of the rush in the 1300s would lead the Magen Avraham in the 1600s to say, it's Ramo's Mako, but we're not so happy. Again, the Torah interpreted the rush as being Mako. Well, that his Kimadonia of Rush, but the Drisha points out that it's not so Pashit. Now, again, you would think that the Torah's read of the rush should be pretty dispositive. Array, it's his father, and I believe they learned together a lot. But in Kalzah, so I think that's what's driving. Even though it didn't drop on, we're not talking about the Bishul Darcy, right? The maximum we're talking about is the drop on of Shehiyah, and that's why still many Achronim, not just in Mishnah Berurah, the Magen Avraham is already angling to Machmir. So I think that's the issue. In other words, like what I'm saying about Drabbanan, so in Bishul Achabishul, Machlos in Bishul Achabishul, there you're playing with a possible Daraisa. But Shehiyah, you leave on the fire before Shabbos, then the most it's going to be is in the Drabbanan. So the fact that Magen Avraham is already trying to avoid the issue is a little bit surprising, unless you understand that he's working off of the rush questions. Okay. Now, in terms of two or three more issues. Let's talk about three more points. Number one, in terms of this machlokas chananya the chachamim, so you may already see on the page, I mentioned this in passing in the first chabura, Rabbi Akiva Eiger, on the first page of Shulchan Aruch here, Tira Masel Velo Higia, and the Rabbi Akiva is picked up on by the Bir Halacha, Tira Masel El Kashahischil, and the Shemir Shabbos Kilchasa, and references all this also, so no matter which. Whether you're looking at the big Shulchan Aruch or the Mishnah Berurah, or you're looking at Shemir Shabbos Kilchasa, you'll see references. Rabbi Akiva Eiger says that he has a Rashba, maybe even a Rush,
who were machmer against the mechaber in the following way. Mechaber says, chachamim, right? So even after Malchah ben Drusa, you need Grufa Ketuma, and before Malchah ben Drusa, you need Grufa Ketuma. You need Grufa Ketuma, but that means that's a chumra, but it's a kula. Without Grufa Ketuma, it's not okay, but with Grufa Ketuma, it would be okay. That's pretty clear in Shulchan Aruch. Rabbi Akiva Eiger is not so thrilled about that. He says, I think if you look at the Rajba, I think the Rajba took it a step further and would say that according to the Chachamim, not only do Chachamim say that Lacha Machab and Jusai, you need to send Grufa Ketuma, like Hananya, who said Lacha Machab Jusai, you need Grufa Ketuma. Rabbi Akiva Eiger said, the Rajba would say that there's also a Machlokas before Machab and Jusai. That whereas Hananya said the Isser Shehi is before Malcha ben Jusoy, and that's what the Mishnah meant, Grufa Ketuma solves it. When you look at the Chachamim, according to Rabbi Akiva Eiger, before Malcha ben Jusoy is such a severe problem, Grufa Ketuma won't even solve it. In other words, there's no heter to even leave on a covered fire if this food is still uncooked. That is a chumrah of Rabbi Akiva Eiger based on his reading of a Rajba, and he also has a Rush whom he thinks might be saying this. Now, what's the logic behind it? So the way he presents it, the concern is Shema Yogis. That's what he introduces. Not only a concern of Shema Yachate, concern of Shema Yachate Begachalim, that he may raise the fire, so Kufa Ksuma solves that. We'll put a hector at the fire. He'll take the coals away, or we'll cover the coals, so then you're solved. So Rabbi Akiva Eiger says, yeah, the food is not even edible at all. Maybe we should also be worried that you'll stick your ladle into the pot and stir it up to get things rolling. Well, so, right, the Shem Yag is already, the Gemara, now, it's true, this is rooted in the Sugya in the first parak by the Yorah, Kura Vetucha, that God does have a discussion about Shem Yag. My concerns about you're setting up a dye pot, maybe you should seal it before Shabbos, no one's going to poke inside. The question is that at all relevant here? So that's this chumrah of Rabbi Akiva Eiger. I think I mentioned, so Be'er Halacha sounds like he would like the machma for that. Shmini Shabbos Lechasa sounds like also he'd love to cover all of his bases. His ideal suggestion is why not be machma for that? Have the food on a covered fire and make sure it's already past Machal Ben Drusai. As I think as I mentioned last time, Shechter presents it as a machalok, that was the approach in Galicia, that was not the approach in Litta. In Galicia, they were generally machmer for this Rabbi Akiva Eiger, that even a covered fire doesn't help you if it's below Machal Ben Drusai. In Litta, they were not. Practical nafkamina is to put a cold kettle, to put up water to heat up right before Shabbos. If the water is still cold, that is Pachas and Malchah ben Drusai. It's on a covered flame, but it's called Malchah ben Drusai. So in Galicia, they were Malchah for Rabbi Akiva Eiger, they would put up the kettle of water a while before Shabbos. So by the time Shabbos would roll in, it's already hot. It's already Lachem Malchah ben Drusai, the equivalent by water. And in Litta, they were not machmer for this Rekiva. They followed the Ikar Din, and they put up cold water right before Shabbos. The Reshef tells a story that there was a couple that came to the Rav. Apparently, that's a terrible story. A couple came to the Rav. The fellow comes to the Rav, married man. He wants the Rav to organize. I think a couple in Boston, or Truman in New York. He wants the Rav has to help him get a get. The Rav says, what's the problem? He says, because he discovered that his wife is a Mechalal Shabbos. The Rav knew this woman, the woman's family, a Rabbanisha family from Litta. So he said, really? Where's Mechalal Shabbos? Anything's possible. So he said, they'll tell me, Gufu de Uvda Hechi happened. What exactly happened? He says, my mother never, this man says to Rav, my mother never put up a cold water right for a Shabbos. Chalilu Chas. I get married to this woman, and she put up cold water on the blech 5 minutes before Shabbos. We're the chil Shabbos. Get me out of here. The Rav said, "Where's your family from? Your family's from Galicia. Okay, I know her family. Her family's from Litta. It's not a concern. It's not a chil Shabbos issue. This is a machlok, because if you follow Rav Kiveger or not. So your family comes from a part of the world that are machlok Rav Kiveger. Her family comes from a part of the world that are not machlok Rav Kiveger. There may have been other issues, as presumably, it sounds like they definitely need to learn better communication skills, at the very least. And I think he provided them with the support to build a firm and thorough basis for a happy, healthy marriage with a lot of longevity. But in terms of the presenting problem of the Chil Shabbos, that's the Chil Shabbos going to keep eager, but Mikra didn't a possum like that. A second issue that comes up aside from Kiva Eger is how we handle this Bizman HaZeh. Nowadays that we have gas fires with knobs, the question is when you're doing Ketuma, a grufa would be turn the fire off. Okay, the Ketuma would be you cover. And the question is what do you cover? So I think I mentioned last time is that the Rav Moshe Feinstein has a truth about this. He's saying that Shmuel Shabbos quotes this. If you want to take a look, for Nukuf Pegav, that he thinks Meikra Din, it's really all about covering the fire. V'shem Atoma. What do you mean covering the fire? Covering the fire. Chazal had you covering the fire because in the time of Chazal, if you're dealing with a coal stove. So then the source of heat and the adjustment point are the same. The way you adjust the heat is by poking the coal. The Bizman HaZeh, the source of the heat obviously is the flame, but the adjustment point, you can't poke the flame on a gas burner. You're not going to get anywhere. Obviously, you need one adjust, you have to turn the knobs. So the question is, where did Chazal want to make the heker? So a little bit Yesh Lachkar, what was the nature of the takana? What was the nature of the takana to cover the fire? What was the nature of the takana to... It was definitely to cover the fire. Because was they really they wanted to cover the heat source, or they wanted to cover the adjustment points? Nafkimi would be nowadays. They're supposed to be covering the fire, they're supposed to be covering the knobs. The point is that so the Raya, interestingly, from the Magen Avraham. The Magen Avraham is Sivkat and Gimel. The Magen Avraham, the Shulchan Aruch here? No. Magen Avraham is Sivkat and Gimel. Thank you very much. Let's read from inside. What's the Lashon Magabram? Right, and then Mechaber says at the beginning of this sif, he says, because he covered the Yechal with Eifer. Magabram says, now he quotes from the Beis Yosef, he quotes from several Chachmei Sfarad. That ain't tzarich l'ktomah she'ein nikra shamesh klal rak b'ketima kol shu sadi. You know, the point is not that the fire is totally hidden. It's not like an out of sight, out of mind, that if you can see the fire, it's a problem. You just have to have a little bit. And then the Magen Avraham, interestingly, seems to connect that with the Gemara, that feel huvara achar kach shari. If you did your maisa ketima, even if it got burned up, it got blown away by the heat, it's fine. Magen Avraham ties it all together. Came into Gila Daito Bagel like a Chalim Sagi. You made your statement. You made your macha. That reference to the Purim signs downstairs. And you made your macha. You made your statement that I'm trying to limit the Chalim here a little bit, so that's good enough. And so 2 points. Number one, it sounds like it's really heat oriented as opposed to adjustment oriented. It's like you're doing something to the heat source. And moreover, all you need is a gili das.
That's that it's an adjustment problem.
Well, yes, but on the other hand, it shows the way some of the Haram say is you cover the fire, so that's enough. I didn't cover the knobs, but you made your gili das. You made your gili das, so that's good enough. So that's why I think the common.
It's a gili das.
No. Okay.
You make a heck.
You're making a hacker, but that's what I'm saying. Right, it is a hacker, but the Magen Avraham, the two things. Number one, the Magen Avraham is indicating that the hacker is in. It seems like his language was your megala das lo boil the gechal. It's enough if you demonstrate you're not as interested in the fire, in the cold. You know, you're showing that you're sort of stepping away from something, you're stepping away from the heat, I think. But moreover, is a bigilu das sahi. So if you cover it, it sounds like even if all you did was cover the fire, that's good enough. That's why I think, so Rav Moshe Feinstein argues strongly that you do need to cover the fire, and at the same time, covering the fire is enough. The summer machmer to cover the knobs also. I was told, I did not hear this from him, I was told that Rav Willick is a strong proponent of covering the knobs. I can't confirm, but that's what I was told. Okay, then one final point. We spoke about the core issue, Chareh HaChachamim. We spoke about the issue of below machmer Zorim Kideger. We spoke about the covering the knobs. We'll take a question, and then we'll wrap up with the Kidra Chais a little bit. Yeah.
If it doesn't have, let's say, if the Goa, the Kisoy, or the and no, it's no longer from Kuma, is it a problem to put the group of Kuma back on Shabbos?
Chazara.
No.
Oh, to put the Kuma back on?
Let's say I want to do Chazara, but now it doesn't have the thing anymore. It doesn't
yeah, that for sure. You're definitely allowed to put the...
It's not a problem like Tikkun Kli, like you weren't able to do that.
Oh, I don't think so. Tikkun Misak in the fire. It's a Tikkun Man on the fire. I don't think so. Yeah, I don't think so. The post can be pretty clear. And you can put the you can put the blech on for Achazara purposes. You can put the blech on. That's interesting. It's clever.
You can
put the blech on Shabbos if need. Let's say a situation. Let's say we're following Chananya. Right. So it was already Kamachal Dinger. Sunday is the Moshe called Sarko. So if I now the Moshe called Sarko. Sorry?
Or you should
want to
do
Achazar. Right, but you didn't have a blech originally. Why? Because for Shahiyah purposes, you make Lech Chananya. And now, Lamas, now you want to take it off, put it back on, so that the post can
assume. Only if you put it on originally before Shabbos, or even if you just never did it and you just want to do it.
So let's we'll get to half Hazar, we'll get to half Hazar.
No, I'm saying Lamas doing the group of Ketumah on Shabbos. Didn't do it before Shabbos.
Yeah, so remember, group of Ketumah used to be much more complicated. I mean, to do group of to shovel out coals, that's clearly a product of Mamsha, Isa Daraisa. Hoping that that's Mechata, bigger column. Even to do Ketumah, the way Chazal envisioned it, you're sprinkling ash on the coals, you're going to be partially extinguishing the coals. We have the luxury, because of the way our fires are built, that we have the luxury of being able to do Ketumah in a way that doesn't involve any malacha. Because we're not adjusting the fire by putting a sheet of metal on top. Because the way our fires work, it's just a steady flow of gas, and you have and it's steady flow of gas, and you have a raised grills on top. The blech is going to sit on top of that, so it's not, you're not cutting off the oxygen flow. So in terms of tikkun mana, I think Lamaisa the post the Shmir Shabbos gives you a whole long.
Yes.
We'll get to Achzara. Shmir Shabbos talks about you like this, like that. But Lamaisa, we are makel to put on a blech on Shabbos.
The answer would be yes, you are allowed to do
Ketumah
on Shabbos. The Lama
doesn't want
to
do
what?
Not to do Ketumah
on Shabbos if you didn't do beforehand.
Not to put a blech on.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
Talk. Stop. You're wrong. No. The Shabbos, I think, is pretty clearly makeup. I believe, yeah. I'd be curious to know what it is. His concern, a Tikkun Mana concern that Jeremy's raising? Is I mean, also, remember, everyone...
Maybe it was those back in the day, they were never had the ability to...
Maybe, but remember, anyways, or maybe...
He's saying out to that, so he would still be machmir for it.
So you got to take a look at Arabi inside. It also may be, I haven't seen it, so it's hard for me to comment. But remember, we said before that many achronim recommend even for Ashkenazim to follow the Chachamim, to have group for Ketumah even for your Shehiyah. So that maybe also he was driving at that. Ideally, we would recommend you should have the blech on from before Shabbos started so that it solves your Shehiyah issue. But let's say you were following Chananya, but now you want to do Hachad, take it off, put it back on. You need a blech maker. I didn't actually say Zechumra. So yeah, I think I'd take a look and see what was driving him. Yeah.
Some people have the stove tops where it's a piece of glass covering the coil. Would that be considered already?
I don't think so. I want to get back to some of the contemporary presentations next week, but not when we're deeper in. And just to talk about platas,
That's very, very lamesa. And as time goes on, you know, when I was your age, once upon a time, we used to actually have the real fires and blech. Right? It's become very passe to actually have a blech. I know many houses where they use a blech only on Yom Tov. You don't really need a blech for Yom Tov. The fire is not because Yom Tov, you won't be able to cook, so maybe you leave the fire on. Right? So that's sort of ironic. Because it's more of a strategic, practical thing than anything else. There have been plenty of homes where no one's using a blech because no one's leaving a fire, a stove fire on Shabbos at all. You're just using a plata. But I wanted to get to the plata once we did. The two issues we're going to leave for next time are smicha and Maaseh Shabbos. And the Shulchan Aruch talks we saw in the Gemara about putting it side by side. The truth is looking at time. Maybe let's leave three issues for next time. Number one, the question of the Kidra Chaisa, the Chaticha Chaya, let's pick that up. That's an interesting kula. And the question of smicha, because the whole issue of shehi is only with algali age. This next to the age is no issue of shia. There may be a problem. Bishul, to put food there on Shabbos next to five day problem bishul, but to leave food there from four Shabbos, you're not going to need the grufa ketuma. So, and then we'll get the plata as an issue in terms of shehi, and also an issue in terms of, obviously, in terms of hachazara. That's going to come more as we dig deeper into hachazara. And the question of Maaseh Shabbos. And just to sort of summarize, let's close with this. The way you would summarize overall the whole sif would be that there is an issue of Shehiyah. There is an issue, again, Beis Shammai would say it's Maaseh Shabbos. Beis Shammai would say it's a Kish Krishna Shvisus Kalim. Basil do not accept Shvisus Kalim, but Basil agree. Over here, there's a concern of what? Of, right, the B'Shem Yechad HaBegecholim. So therefore, you can't leave food on the fire from before Shabbos. But if you read through Shulchan Aruch, Sif Aleph, there are basically, there's Isser Shia with five kulos. Number one, Kashik Vava, just to sort of, you know, overview everything. If the fire is very insubstantial, it's Kashik Vava, you don't really have coals, you have nothing permanent, it's stuff that's burning up, so that's mutter, that doesn't really come up for us. Or if it's Mitzamek Viralo, that is definitely not a problem Shia. If it's already at the point where the fire is keeping it hot, but the fire is making it less tasty, then there's no concern of Shehiyah. And again, Rashi, Bali Atosfos, follow Hananya, that is not just Mestan Viralo, it's much earlier, anytime after Machal Ben Drusai. Number three is if the food or piece of the food is absolutely raw. Now, kula number four is Rufa Ketuma. And again, that gets a little footnote that, well, Rabbi Akiva Eger says it doesn't always work, okay? And finally, l'smoch. That if it's just smicha, rather than actual gabi ha'esh, then shehiyah is a problem. When you have a substantial fire, you put it directly on top, there's no blech, it's not raw, and it's at the stage where it's an issue. What that stage, and machal ben drusai, that stage run, for as long as it is still benefiting from the fire. Okay. So, Mitzvah Shem, everybody say, Afreilich and Purim. I look forward to dancing, hopefully, with all of you tomorrow night at the Chagiga. For those who have not been in the past, it is incredible. For those who have been in the past, you already know that. It's not one of the, called one of the most glorious nights. Yeshiva is glorious throughout. Leil Purim is one of the uniquely glorious nights at Yeshiva. And then Mitzvah Shem next week, Thursday, we should have a regular week, and next week, Thursday, we're back into a regular Thursday schedule. A second Chagura on Shehiyah, and then after that, we're going to be moving towards Hachazara, and hopefully wrapping up a lot of this, maybe even Hatzmana, maybe we can even wrap up Hatzmana, I would love to, before we break for Pesach. If we could wrap up all of these Surin Drabanan of Bishul, Shehiyah, Hachazara, and however well we do Hatzmana, before Pesach, I think that would be ideal, and that would allow us to come back from Bein HaZmanim with a Summer's Man. For Summer's Man, we can move on to other areas of fresh start, maybe Tochen and Lush, like we talk about other areas, Mir La'akim, but to be able to make, I think, a fresh start after Pesach would be marvelous. I think that tentatively our goal is to see what we see, to work on this for the remainder of this month until Pesach. We might, perhaps, over the course of Pesach, have a Chazara in Bechir right after. We'll see how we work with that. I don't think we're going to get Chazara in before Pesach. We're going to Chazara be over the course of Pesach, but that is our goal. enjoy the rest of the afternoon, Seder, and I'll see you tomorrow night.
Sorry.